All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for our choir. Choir and orchestra did an outstanding job leading a Christmas celebration for us last evening. And then next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, our praise band will lead our Christmas service. Yes, we will be open Christmas Day for the 10:30 service only. So we look forward to seeing you then. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at Luke 1, Luke 2, Matthew chapter 1, and a couple of other places. And I want to talk to you today about the fear nots of Christmas. Chuck Swindoll is probably one of the premier preachers in America. If you listen to Moody Radio, you'll hear him on there daily. He's a great author, preacher, Bible scholar, and pastor. He said when he was just a little man, growing up, he had a younger brother named Orville. And he said when Orville got old enough, he got a job at the public library in downtown Houston. He said the library had four stories. He said, not one of us liked to go up on the third story or the fourth story. There were old books. They were molded. There was mildew everywhere. And he said, when we had to close up at night, we would always have to draw straws or play some kind of game to decide who was going to go up on the third and fourth floor to turn out the lights. He said, you always heard creaking noises. There were busts of people like Abraham Lincoln up there and other statues. So they had a young man about 16 years old that had just gone to work for the library. So one night they told him and said, why don't you go upstairs, lock up, turn off all the lights? He said, oh, I'll be glad to do that. Now you understand, when you went up on the third and floor, it's one of those places that you'd try to be a man. You were going up and you were singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And so this little fella, he went up on the fourth floor and he started turning off lights, click, click, and he's singing, click, click, click. Well, Orville, Chuck Swindoll's brother, went up on the third floor and hid behind a stack of books. And when the old boy was coming down on the third floor and turning off all the lights, Orville yelled from behind the shelf, boy, what are you doing up here? And said the boy went down those three flights of stairs without touching a step. He ran out the front door, and he never came back even to get his paycheck. The fear nots of Christmas. We live with fears now. Who would have thought that if you went to a shopping mall, somebody would come in with an AK and begin to just shoot people randomly? Who would have thought if you went to a jewelry store that people would come in with black masks and hoodies, guns and crowbars, and while you're there shopping, they're just stealing millions of dollars worth of diamonds? Who would have thought somebody would have taken an SUV and ran right over the middle of 30 police recruits who were out for their morning run? Who would have thought that we would have had a parade in our nation this year, and somebody comes along with an SUV and drives right down the middle of it and kills several people? We live with some fears in America that we thought we would absolutely never face. When we look at Christmas, there's some other fears we have. If you're not careful and live on the Dave Ramsey budget, you're going to have the fear of your credit card coming in about January the 20th. How am I going to stretch my paychecks to meet all my financial obligations? And sometimes I hear people say this, I just wish we could go back to a simple Christmas like that first Christmas, where everything was just peace and safety. If you'll read the Word of God, everything was not peace. In fact, there was confusion back in those days. There were some threatening situations that people faced. And there was some news brought to some of the characters of the Christmas story that brought fear to those individuals. So I want us to look today, starting with Luke chapter 1, at one of the fears. and the fear nots that's given to a person before the Christ event. Zacharias is the one in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 11, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now imagine an angel appearing to you. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But here's what the angel always says. Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents of their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah looks at the angel and says, how can I be sure of this? I am old, and my wife is old. I've even bought my Medicare Advantage plan that Joe Willie Namath told me about when I was watching Gunsmoke reruns. How in the world can this happen to us? And notice what the angel says. I am Gabriel. I stand in the physical presence of God, and God has sent you this message that your prayers of many years, that you will have a son, will take place. But notice what happens. And now, Zacharias, you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. Can you imagine Bonnie Clark in our congregation being silent just because she doubted God one time in her life? Warren doubted God when Greg went out with Bonnie the first time. He told Diane, I hope Bonnie's not going to be disappointed when Greg doesn't ask her out again. Now they've been married 35 years or longer, I'm not sure. But can you imagine every time we doubted God, he said, you're going to be quiet. You can't speak a word until the event you prayed for takes place. Many of you at Christmas time have a prayer that you want God to answer. Some of you, it's about your grown children who've made some bad decisions. Some of you are concerned about your grandchildren because your children are not raising them in the admonition of the Lord. Not in the home, not even in the church. They're not passing on the Christian faith that you gave them in formative years. I had the privilege to be a guest at the President's Gala at Shorter University. The guest speaker was Darryl Strawberry. Some of you remember his 18 seasons. He's a Major League Baseball player. He played for the Mets. He played for the Yankees. I asked him, which team did you like best? He said, I love New York. That's a real good answer. But he told about his salvation experience. You know, he lost everything with drugs and alcohol and running women and all these other things. And finally, he's on his third marriage. He's been dry 15 years. His wife's been dry 20 years. But he said when his mother got sick, she was a fine Christian lady, he went to see her one day, and his sisters had been waiting on her. They had found something when they flipped the mattress. They found a prayer journal that she had kept day after day as the children were growing up. And on there, she had been praying for years and years for Darryl to be saved. She didn't care about him having the money, the cars, the houses. She just wanted her son to be saved. And here's what Darryl Strawberry said. Mamas, keep praying. I'm here because of my mama's prayers, and your prayers, mamas, will be answered even after you've gone to heaven. So we look and we see this prayer has been answered. Luke 1:57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. In verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Zacharias breaks out with what? Verbal praise. The first, fear not, of the first Christmas. The second one is a decision made by Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Now look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of the Messiah came about. The mother was pledged, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Well, Merry Christmas, Joseph. Look's what's happening here. Here's the lady that God has led me to marry. And now the angel's telling me that she is expecting, though not through physical contact, intimacy with another human being, but by the Holy Spirit. This was a godly Hebrew man. He was a righteous man who all his life dreamed of marrying a woman who was pure. Then he considered divorcing her. She's expecting another man's child. His first conclusion, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in Mary. But as he began to reflect on this, it's amazing to me, people say, well, what is God's will for me? Well, back in those days, God sent an angel to tell you what to do. Look at verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord. Can you imagine an angel of the Lord appearing? I'm blessed to have my sister visiting with me today for the first time in about 2 years. She took me out to her vehicle yesterday. She said, I want to show you something. And so she turned on the car, and when she did, this man blew up in the seat that looks out the window. It looks like a real person. And he's got a name. And you know, it's strange when you're standing next to that car and she cranks it, and you know she's in there by herself, and this man's out there looking at you like this. He's one of these guys in one of these movies. I reckon that's how you use the HOV lane when you're going down I-75. I have no idea. It's got to be two in the car. But can you imagine an angel appearing to you and says, hey, she's going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Listen to me carefully. When life gives you a disappointment, God oftentimes has something better, exceedingly beyond what we ever thought and we ever expected. It was a young man who was promoted to bank president. He was scared to death. So he went to see his predecessor one day and he said, how did you become such a successful bank president? He said, I made good decisions. Well, the young man said, well, how did you learn to make good decisions? He said, experience. He said, well, how did you get experience? He said, I made a lot of bad decisions. That's the way it happens. When God speaks to you through his word and conviction of the Holy Spirit, our duty is to obey. That may mean a young adult, wait on a practicing Christian before you marry. How many times premarital counseling? I want to marry this person, Pastor, they're not saved, but I'll lead them to Jesus after we're saved. No, you won't. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. About 90% of the time, the unbeliever just brings that believer down, down, down till they're not walking with God anymore. God may be asking you to support a certain ministry. He may be calling you to obey Him and tithe your gross income. When God speaks, it's time to just say, yes, be it unto me according to your will. The fear not of Joseph. Then look at the fear not to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel, here it is again, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings. Yeah. And you are the highly favored. The Lord is with you. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, here it is, do not be afraid. Fear not. It says here, you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary worships God with great devotion. And then suddenly God sends an angel into her life with a direct message from God. She's just a teenage girl. She's told that she's going to be pregnant. And how in the world is she going to tell her fiancé about this? How does she go home and tell her parents about this? And the angel is saying that I am going to give birth to the one who's been prophesied for hundreds of years, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of Christmas is that? Christmas has never been perfect. Mary, who was one who worshiped God with devotion, and God says to her, fear not, and the reason she didn't have to fear, because with God, nothing is impossible. I have problems with people who say they believe Jesus is the Savior, but they don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's virgin born, perfect life, died a sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning death on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for your salvation and mine. And on the third day he arose, and he's on the throne at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? And that's who our Savior is. And God is still in the miracle working business. It's a miracle that he sent his son. It's a miracle. The greatest miracle you'll ever experience is salvation. Some of you are here today needing the miracle of salvation. You need to invite him into your heart. Some of you are needing a miracle in your family and with your health. God is still capable of doing that. But after this experience, what did Mary do? Mary began to praise God and to worship him and to devote herself to this mission. Now, in verse 18, again in Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. Mary, the mother, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But God says to those who wonder in disappointment, he says, fear not. Sometimes in our mind, we just get a little distracted. When we get disappointed, when we get just a little depressed with what life has handed to us, we say, God, what's going on? What in the world is happening to me? We get a lesson from American history a long time ago. It was January the 20th, 1981. Some of you remember when some of our Americans were held hostage by the Iranians. When they came back on that January date and the hostage deal was complete, some of you that are old enough to remember, others of you can Google it up. What was the first thing the Americans did when they landed on the tarmac in the United States of America. They got down on their knees and they kissed the asphalt and the ground of America. Some of us have forgotten as believers that we don't deserve anything. Everything we have is by the grace and the mercy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we forget that we need to fall down on our knees and worship the one who saved us and has given us everything we have. You see, those American captives had been in a satanic nation, and they were back to one nation under God and had their freedom. We've got to think back when we were lost and we had that sin bondage around us, and when that blood was applied to our heart and we said yes to Jesus, then we've touched down in freedom spiritually. We need to give thanks. Now notice the declarations to the shepherd in Luke 2 verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel. Are you kidding? And they were terrified. I believe that. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. He'll be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now look at this. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts showed up. Are you kidding? Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favor rest." The shepherds, the outcast, those living in spiritual darkness. They were considered so unclean, they were not allowed to enter the Jewish tabernacle. In fact, they didn't want them outside. They probably smelled, they were probably dirty. People looked down on them as being poor. They were not considered to be worthy to be a part of the covenant of God. And yet the angel comes and then brings a host and says, "Your Savior has been born." We need to remember, as we look at Lottie Moon and international missions, Jesus didn't come to just die for America. He came to give his life and offer salvation to every continent, to every nation, to all races, to all social, ethnic, and economic groups in the whole world. Did you know when you go to Luke 2, verse 11, three titles, it's the only place in the New Testament you'll find this, three titles are given to Jesus in one verse. If you look there, he's called Savior. Today we ask people to receive Jesus as your Savior. And what he's talking about, that speaks of the saving ministry of the birth of Jesus. There's one title. Then he's called Christ. That speaks of the mystery of his birth. Listen, when he came here, he was 100% God and 100% man. Do I understand that? No, I just believe it because the Word says it. And then it says he's come to be Messiah. That means he's born king. And one day he's coming back to rule and reign. And when he comes into your life, you must accept him both as Savior and Lord. A lot of people are discouraged living in America right now. Listen, our hope is not in politics or a political party. Our hope is in God himself. And we know how this ends. Jesus is going to come back, rapture, later on the second coming. There's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, and we know who wins all of that. And Jesus is going to rule and reign forever with those who are born again, baptized believers. That's what's happening. That's where we're headed. So there's two roads. There's a wide road that leads to destruction. It's like 285 during the rush hour. People in America just can't wait to get there. But then it says narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And that's trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And then we see that in Luke 2:27 about old Simeon, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, God said to Simeon, you know, Simeon, you're not going to die till you see the Messiah. So 8 days after Jesus was born, according to the custom of the Jews, they brought him into the temple. And here's what the scripture says. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen Jesus, my salvation. Can you imagine that? Simeon, when he got to hold Jesus, he said, all right, you said I'm out of here. I'm ready to go. Listen to me carefully. Listen carefully. Listen. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, whether you're 9 or you're 90 years old, you're ready to go. Does that make sense? And you may not want to go. That's because we're trying to hold on to the things of this world. But you're as ready to go as Simeon was when he held the baby in his hands. I'm ready to go to heaven. Some of you are excited this Christmas. It's the first Christmas you've been married. You don't even know what you're doing yet. That's why you're so excited. But it gets gooder and gooder as the years go by, guys, if you'll just do what you're told. And just pretend you're Zacharias sometime. When your wife tells you something, your mouth is shut. And it cannot be opened until you leave that house alone. You understand that? That's going to work for you. Some of you are excited because you got a new baby. Others you're excited because you got a new grandchild. Some of you have moved from far off as grandparents to come back to be with your children and run carpool for your grandchildren. And you think you are real happy. That's amazing to me. People just fill with joy at Christmas. But you know, some of our people are feeling sorrow. I came to work on December the 7th on Wednesday, and I don't know why. I'm not good with recalling dates when certain significant events took place. I don't like calendars. Delane and Ellen tell me where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. But what was December 7th? Pearl Harbor. 2009. That's the day my dad went home to be with the Lord. He was a World War II veteran. I thought that was kind of ironic. We had to turn off his life support. That morning, the 3 children had to make a decision. When I was in my office, I wasn't paying particular attention to my clock, but when I looked up, it was 10:30 last Wednesday. That was the time we disconnected. And he looked at all 3 of us, raised his head up, put his head back down on the pillow. He was gone. You know what? He was ready. I look around the congregation today. There's some people missing. But they were ready. So it's going to be a little bit different for some of us. I've been there where you are right now with family members. And it's not easy. Christmas traditions are totally different. But it's all about Jesus. I saw a poem the other day I just wanted to share with you. It says, I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below with tiny lights and heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus this year. I hear the Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music cannot compare to the Christmas choir up here. Whoop. I have no words to tell the joy their voices bring, for it's beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know so much, just how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I'm not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. Be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I send you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I send you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love each other, as our Father said to do, for I cannot count the blessings of the love he has for you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away the tear. And remember, I'm just spending Christmas with Jesus this year and throughout eternity. Delaney and I had the privilege to hear Tony Evans live in Augusta 2.5 weeks ago. And here's what he said. He said, we look like a big old holy huddle here with all these preachers. And I'm not going to tell what else he said about that. But he said, you know what we need to do? We got churches that have no baptisms. Two-thirds of Georgia Baptist churches, that's 3,400 churches, reported no baptisms in 2021. Do the math. You know what the best thing we can do this Christmas? He said everybody else coming out of the closet about the time we did too. As believers, and let's hear Jesus. Because he's the reason for the season. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Don't live in fear. Jesus may send an angel in your face and scare you to death. Say, fear not. You just go out here and do what I told you to do. Go. Tell. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed and eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for keeping the message of Christmas simple for us. And Lord, I pray today that if somebody is here who's never trusted you as Savior and Lord, will do it this morning. All you got to do, confess to Christ you're a sinner. We all are. We're born with a sin nature. Believe that he lived a perfect life, shed his blood on the cross to pay for your gift of salvation, and ask him to come in. Now, we're going to have people in the Family Life Center, and people join me at the front. We'll help you with that with no pressure. Romans 10:13, whosoever calls on his name, put your name in the blank of the whosoever shall be saved. Some of you have already been saved. You need to make it public. Be a candidate for baptism and church membership. That baptism doesn't save you. It's just symbolic of what you believe in your head and your heart that Jesus did for you. Some of you have been our guests for a while. Only if you prayed about it and you've got peace, I ask you to come and move your letter, your spiritual gifts in this little place in Silver Creek. You're going to find out this little church touches local, national, and international personally, not just with our gifts and our finances. Lord, this is the most important time of the service. Help us decide to be among the fear nots. And we'll be willing to lovingly, boldly share the plan of salvation with people we're surrounded by all the time who need to be saved. We give you glory and honor for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, Eric, our youth minister, is coming forward in the Family Life Center. Our praise band is coming forward with him. I'll have Ted here with me at the front. If you're uncomfortable coming forward in the Family Life Center, after the service, if you'll go to the Connect desk, Eric will meet with you there. Uncomfortable coming forward here because of COVID fears or whatever they might be, just meet us at the Welcome Center desk right after the service. You need prayer. You need to trust Christ. You need to move your membership. We ask you to come forward. But if you're uncomfortable with that, just meet us in the foyer and the Connect Center. If you're listening on your electronic device, we ask that you call 706-234-1841. Leave a message, and one of our staff members will get back to meet your need as soon as possible. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.